unknown to some of you, as I spent 15 years in Chicago, so this is kind of a homecoming for me. And I got my PhD from University of Illinois at Chicago.
We take full credit.
Yes. All right, well, I'm happy to be here today to share our findings on palliative care consults in nursing homes. This study was funded by the National Institute on Aging, and I have a number of collaborators who are listed here. The last three are consultants, and Ed Martin and Janet Bull were actually from our provider settings, and Laura Hansen is a consultant from University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. All of us have disclosed no relevant financial relationships. So as many of you know, about half of the residents who die in nursing homes have dementia, and of these, about half access hospice. But there's major barriers to access of hospice and to timely access. Often people with dementia in nursing homes go into hospice very early or very late. And there's two main reasons for this. One reason is the six-month eligibility requirement. Residents to receive Medicare hospice must have a physician-certified terminal prognosis of 6 months or less. For people with dementia, this is very hard to do. I've been involved with studies where we've tried to develop a model or algorithm to predict mortality, and the finding was what we predicted was a little bit better than chance. So it's very difficult. And also, residents in the nursing home who want hospice can't receive simultaneously Medicare, skilled nursing facility care, and hospice. So often that delays referral to hospice because they're receiving their Medicare skilled benefit. In the recent IOM report, they recommend the availability of specialty palliative care consults across care setting. And specialty palliative care is palliative care by palliative care experts. Palliative care, this keeps moving on its own, so. Palliative care consults expand the availability of palliative care expertise in nursing homes, and they differ from Medicare hospice in many ways. To receive a palliative care consult, you don't have to actively choose a consult. Like any other consult, a physician can order it, just like a pulmonary consult or mental health consult. And I don't know what's going on with this machine, but so it's not necessarily a choice to receive a consult. People don't have to forfeit their Medicare Part D benefits, and you don't need a certified six-month prognosis to receive palliative care, a non-hospice palliative care. But unfortunately, palliative care is not a Medicare benefit per se, and so to receive palliative care, there's a lot of the provision in nursing homes has been by Medicare providers and palliative care providers that are subsidiaries of Medicare hospices. And most of this palliative care in the nursing home is provided by nurse practitioners supervised by certified palliative care physicians. They're paid for this service by billing Medicare Part B for a visit to the nursing home. So they do a lot on a visit, and this is true in hospitals too when they make palliative care visits. They do a lot, but they don't receive any more than someone else making a visit to a patient in the nursing home. Typically, and this is in the two provider settings we studied, nurse practitioners make the visits to the nursing home for the consults. Typically, on admission or the first visit to the patient, a resident, nurse practitioners review the diagnoses and prognoses. They address symptom control needs. They review advanced directives if they're available, and they discuss goals of care. Frequently, family meetings are a component of many of these consults. There's been a lot of study of palliative care in hospitals and outpatient settings, and consistently these researchers have found that palliative care is associated with a lower intensity of treatments in hospitals and with lower costs. Also, and some of this research has been more recent, researchers have found that when palliative care is introduced earlier versus later, the effects are greater, the cost savings or the reduction in intensity of services. There's been no study across nursing homes looking at palliative care consults. There was one prospective study in one nursing home in Boston that found that when residents had palliative care consults compared to matched non-consult residents, they had lower ER use and less depression. So our objective was to study the effect or the associations with palliative care consults for residents with dementia. This is a sub-analysis of a larger study of about 6,500 residents who died between 2006 and 2010 in study nursing homes, and I'll describe those nursing homes in a moment. These people had their first palliative care consult in the last 6 months of life. Of the larger study, the 10% of the residents had a consult, and of these, 40% had moderate to severe dementia. And that's a cognitive performance score using the MDS to develop this, and it's a score of 3 to 6, which represents moderate to very severe dementia. So we have, our study is a propensity score match retrospective cohort of Medicare beneficiaries with moderate to very severe dementia who died in nursing homes in 2006 to 2010. Because there isn't a designated palliative care consult benefit, there's really no good way to figure out who had a consult in nursing homes, so there's not a recognized code that people are consistently using. So that meant I had to figure out how to find these people who are getting consults. So I collaborated with two palliative care providers. They were in hospice CON states. I chose these people because these providers because it was easier to determine that they were the only providers of consults in their counties. So there were two providers. They provided care at 46 nursing homes in two states, and two counties in North Carolina and five counties in Rhode Island. Both of these providers were subsidiaries of large hospices. As I mentioned, they were in hospice certificate of need states. The hospices were freestanding, nonprofit, and non-chain based. So they provided me with data on who received a consult in a nursing home and the date of the first consult. And with these data, we linked this to Medicare denominated file, to resident assessment data, nursing home resident assessment data, the MDS file, and to Medicare claims data to identify which residents had dementia and which residents died between 2006 and 2010. As I mentioned, the people that we're studying had palliative care consult, the first consult in the last 180 days of life. They were Medicare eligible and not enrolled in Medicare Advantage in the last year of life. And because we wanted to replicate some of what the other findings have shown in relation to earlier versus later exposure to palliative care, and because our larger study showed enough differential effects by when people first received palliative care, we categorized our treatment group by those who received their first consult 30 days or less before death, and then the other group is 31 to 180 days before death. So everyone else who had dementia was a potential control. We chose controls from the same nursing homes and people who died in the same time frames. And again, they had, just like the treatment group, they had to be Medicare eligible and not in managed care or Medicare Advantage in the last year of life. We did a 3-to-1 matching using propensity score matching with replacement. These are the variables or the covariates that we matched on and that we also used in multivariate analysis. So we doubly kind of controlled, we matched on these variables so the treatment and controls would be very similar. And we also then included these variables in our multivariate models for any to control for any uncontrolled confounding. I'm not going to go through them, but so we look control for socio-demographic variables. I'll mention some that were very different. Let me just mention that after matching, there were no significant differences in any of these variables. Prior to matching, people who referred to consults had were much more likely to have hospitalizations in the 90 days before the baseline MDS. And a baseline MDS for the treatment group was the MDS just prior, the first MDS prior to the consult, but not after. And then we chose a comparable MDS for the control group. So those people who had consults were much more likely to be hospitalized in that 90 days before baseline, but there was no difference between the two groups after matching. We also controlled for a number of nursing home facility characteristics, essentially characteristics that have been found in research to be associated with acute care use at the end of life. And we also controlled for the state. We had a dummy variable to indicate whether a person was in Rhode Island or North Carolina. So we ended up with 104 residents who had consults in the last 30 days of life, and we matched these to 249 matched non-consult controls. In the 31, we had 87 residents who had their first consult 31 to 180 days before death, and we matched those to 176 residents with no consults. Our outcomes for hospital death, we looked to see whether a resident died in the hospital within 7 days of nursing home transfer. We looked at hospitalizations and ER visits in the last 7, 30, and 60 days of life. And we used a weighted multivariate logistic regression, including the same variables we used for matching. We weighted by our strata, not our strata, but our matching. So these are, I didn't show you my results now. These are adjusted rates. So based on the multivariate models, we calculated adjusted rates. And you can see for hospital death, those people who had consults, the percentage with, of hospital deaths with consults, it was less than 1%. So only 0.9% of the people who had consults had a death in the hospital, compared to almost 15% of those that did not have consults. We had a similar finding for those people who had consults further from death. For looking at hospitalization the last 7 days of life, we see a bigger effect if residents had their first consult 31 to 180 days before death compared to less than 30 days. And so for that group, the group that had the consults further away, there's about a 10 percentage point difference in having a hospitalization in the last 7 days of life. And for the last 30 and 60 days of life, I only look at the group that had consults further from death, because the other ones, the consults overlapped with or were really after this, these time periods. But again, we see for 30 days about a 10% lower rate of hospitalization in the last 30 days of life. And there is a lower hospitalization in the last 60 days of life, but that's not statistically significant. ER visits, we see similar things, lower ER rates of ER visits at the end of life. They're only significant for those people who had hot consults further from death. Other findings, we saw that though when residents had consults, and this is very similar to all the other studies out there, we found they were more likely to enroll in hospice. So those residents who had a palliative care consult 30 days or fewer before death, 53% enrolled in hospice versus 47% if they did not have a consult. And for the group that had a consult 31 to 180 days before death, 57% enrolled in hospice versus 43%. The group that had consults very close to death, 30 days or less, had a much higher use of skilled nursing facility care in the last 7 days of life. You can see on the bottom here that when they received a consult in the last 30 days of life, their first consult, They have almost a 20% higher use of skilled nursing facility care in the last 7 days of life than residents who didn't have a consult. There wasn't much difference in this when they had a consult further from death. So these people are probably coming into the nursing home after a hospitalization on skilled care, it appears. Limitations of the study, there could be unobserved, and there probably is unobserved confounding that still remains, and this could be biasing our result. There could be other factors associated with someone receiving a consult that we're not we're unable to control for. Findings, of course, are not nationally representative. We didn't examine the dose of palliative care. One of our sites couldn't provide us with complete visit data, but we do know that what they do on their first visit, which I mentioned, so this is really looking at to see whether they had any palliative care. In the future, we'd like to look at the how the volume of visits might make a difference. And this is a retrospective approach. Because of data limitations and other concerns, we couldn't do prospective, but we would like to do this in the future. Subsequent to putting this abstract in, we have done further analysis. We've looked at burdensome transitions, which is considered, especially for people with this level of dementia, to be a quality measure, and we looked at things like whether if a person chose hospice, was hospice chosen in the last 3 days of life. We looked at the number of transfers near the end of life. So for that group who had consults 31 to 180 days before death, their rate of burdensome transition was 12% compared to 29% for matched controls. We've also looked at Medicare expenditures. We found, for this longer, this group that had consults further from death, we found there was no significant differences in Medicare Part A expenditures in the last 7 and 30 days of life. In the last 60 days of life, we did see that it was about $2,000 more for residents with consults versus those without, and that may represent that skilled care that we saw, the increased use of skilled care. So the implications are that it appears that, well, we saw that for at least 10% of the residents and a large portion of those with dementia, there is increased access to palliative care, and there's appears to be improved value with a palliative care consult. We saw decreases in these burdensome transitions, in these decreases in acute care use at the end of life, without undue decreases in Medicare expenditures. We saw some decreases in the last 60 days of life, but for dementia, we see this with hospice too. We can talk about that if you'd like. So we recommend that be further study with broader quality outcomes and more providers, palliative care providers included. And also, I think it's really a practical clinical trial to study the value of palliative care consults in nursing homes is needed. A specific policy recommendation, but I don't think they would do it without more study, is that I think payment for palliative care consults that recognizes what is done during such a consult, higher payment than a visit, Part B visit payment, could both increase the number of providers willing to do these consults in nursing homes and increase access to specialized palliative care in nursing homes. Thank you.
We do have some time for a few questions. Any questions? Yes.
I gather that one of the reasons that you limited this study to just two practices was the paucity of use of the HCPCS code for palliative care. Am I correct in that? And is use of the code increasing so that perhaps you could do a more general study?
No, it's not. So the question was about the code for palliative care visit, which is a V code. I can't remember it offhand, but no, not everybody uses that code. And actually, the palliative care people have recommended not to use the code. And there's when I first submitted, I got this funded after the second submission, but my first submission I got all these people saying, it's not an end-of-life benefit, and you know I know that, but because this is R21, we focused on people who died and look forward, and I said I was going to use that code, but we're going to do much more, because I understand it's not why it's not consistently used, and the palliative care people, or some of the leaders, have recommended not to use it, because it states in the guidelines for using that code that it's an end-of-life visit. And palliative care, there is emphasized that palliative care should be upstream, and so it's not appropriate for a lot of people that receive palliative care to use that code. So our third aim of this project, and the reason I only used two, this was a tremendous effort to get their data, to clean it, to merge it. It was a lot of work. We do have 8 providers that we obtained a facility level data on, and we're looking at, we have a paper at one of the palliative care meetings looking at overall the decrease in hospitalizations in a nursing home when they started receiving consults. But at the individual level, it was a tremendous amount of work to do this. But our third aim is to develop an algorithm using Medicare Part B nursing home claims and nursing home MDS data to develop an algorithm to identify somebody who had a consult. So, of course, if they had that V code and weren't receiving hospice, we would say, oh, yeah, they had a consult. But we know a lot of people don't use that code, so then we're going to try to figure out how we can identify a consult when they're not using that code.
Any other questions? One in the back?
Why we chose the 6 month? Well, it was, I mean, it's often the research has looked at the last 6 months of life, and so it was kind of arbitrary from that. About a quarter of the people with consults had them before the last 6 months of life, and we had some issues. If I wanted to keep all the years in, we had some issues with retrospective data being available if I looked further than 6 months, so that was part of it. But definitely, we are doing a descriptive paper looking prospectively at those people who have the palliative care at different time periods. But it was really based on making things comparable to previous research and because of data issues.
Thank you, Susan.